Well, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Eli James here, Eurofolk Radio, and could not find the theme song for Yahweh's Covenant People at this very moment. Very important subject coming up tomorrow, which has been taking up a lot of my time. We got a live event in the Chicago area that's going to be streaming from a local hall. Going to try to do a live Skype conference leading up eventually to doing live shows with Eurofolk Radio on site, you know, interviews with people, and maybe we'll even cover a riot or two. We'll see.
Oh boy.
All right. So I believe we are streaming. And
Yeah, we're on.
Okay.
Check.
And so today what we've chosen for a subject is the rise and fall of King Solomon. And we're going to start with 1 Kings chapter 9. Let me get the correct verse here. And I guess verse 10, where the heading here in Esort is Solomon's Other Acts. And I'll just, and then I'll just start reading from the King James, and then we'll switch over to you in the scriptures, Pastor Steve. Okay.
Well, no, I'm going to be. I have the prophets is already done.
Okay.
Translation is good to go.
Okay. So,
as a matter of fact, I'm shipping out prophets.
Yes.
You know.
Okay.
A bunch of orders. I got two in today.
Yes.
They got to go out in the morning.
Right. Right. And so 1 Kings, 1 Samuel, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, going down to what? Going down
to...
Oh,
it's the whole gamut.
Yeah.
All the prophets, starting with Joshua, all the way through Malachi, the prophets.
Okay.
But then Psalms and Proverbs and Chronicles and Ruth. Ruth is not in the prophets.
Okay, so yeah, historical. You got to divide it up into three parts. You got the Torah,
right.
the historical books, and the prophets.
Torah, the prophets, and then the writings. That's the last book. That's what I'm working on now.
Okay.
I'm transcribing Psalms, but I'm not going to do anything till after Feast of Tabernacles. I need a break.
Yeah. I can actually hear the L when you say Psalms. Very few people actually pronounce the L. Very good. Shows that my speaker system is really good.
Well, that's good.
Okay. Yeah, right. Okay, so 1 Kings 9:10, Solomon's Other Acts is the heading in my King James Version. And it came to pass at the end of 20 years, when Solomon had built the two houses, the house of Yahweh and the king's house, because this was a big deal. This was a huge building project. Verse 11. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, had furnished Solomon with cedar trees, fir trees, and with gold, according to all his desire, that then King Solomon gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. Now there's been speculation that Hiram, king of Tyre, was a non-Adamite. I think Hiram was actually, I don't think he was an Israelite, but he was not an Edomite. He was not a Philistine. I think he was probably an Aramaean. Okay.
Well, and that's the root stock for Abraham. Okay.
Yes.
They were there from Aram.
Yes.
But that whole area, if they were not... enemies of Israel, they had Israel blood. Okay.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
Not all of Israel went into Israel. There are Adamite people scattered about.
Mm-hmm. And many of the Israelite tribes actually were working with Hiram, king of Tyre.
Yes.
The northernmost tribes. And this is before the Phoenician period. The Phoenician period is when it began to be pagan. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that Phoenician period, the pagan period, came later. So Solomon is on good terms with Hiram. In fact, I think it tells us here that Hiram was a Yahweh worshiper. Let's keep reading. And Hiram came out from Tyre to see the cities which Solomon had given him, and they pleased him not. What? You don't like my cities? And he said, what cities are these which thou hast given me, my brother? He calls him a brother. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in Hebrew, this is ach, or ach, a brother, used in the widest sense of the term. Okay.
Yeah, that's number 251.
Okay. And he called them the land of Kabul unto this day. And Kabul, what is it? Sterile.
I have to go to the notes, but
The Strong's definition of Kabul is sterile. So I guess the land that these cities were situated in was kind of like desert.
Kabul means as nothing.
As nothing. Okay. So this is why Hiram was not pleased. I guess the work of producing, of procuring all the cedar and fir and gold that what Solomon had offered him was not enough. So Hiram says, no, that's not good enough. And Hiram sent to the king 60 talents of gold. We're talking lots of gold here, folks. And this is the reason of the levy which King Solomon raised for to build the house of Yahweh and his own house and Millo and the wall of Jerusalem and Hazor and Megiddo and Gezer. Millo, a rampart. Right. Millo means rampart. Okay.
Right.
For Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had gone up and taken Gezer and burnt it with fire, and slain the Canaanites that dwelt in the city, and given it for a present unto his daughter, Solomon's wife. Okay, I see a problem here. Okay. So even though Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had gone up and killed the Canaanites and burnt the city with fire, my understanding is, Pastor Steve, that the king of Egypt in this time, actually going all the way back to the Pharaoh who knew not Joseph and the Pharaoh who drove the Israelites out of Egypt, the Pharaohs at that point in time already had mixed blood. In fact, had Canaanite blood in them. Okay. So we're being told here that the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who was most likely of mixed blood, definitely had Canaanite blood or Hittite blood, because the Hittite kingdom had provided a wife for Pharaoh, and the offspring of that Pharaoh and the wife was the Pharaoh who knew not Joseph.
Much later after the Exodus, they started to mix.
Right.
They were no longer Mitzrayim. They were much.
Right. So here we find Solomon in all his glory at the top of his reign, and now we find out that the Pharaoh had given Solomon his daughter as a wife.
Yes.
Okay, I think there's a problem here.
Well, this is all right. He had all kinds of women. He was broad crazy. He just had everything. It went to his
girl
head.
Crazy, right? Girl crazy.
It went to his head and went downward from there.
Yeah, right.
He thought with
down to his toes.
The other part,
right?
Rather than his brain, and he was a slave to his lust.
Right now, isn't this true of the Israelite people? When we get comfortable, because this is like 20 years. After the building began. So, you know, while all this building is taking place, all these women are catching his eye, right? But we're not told of any kind of sinning going on by Solomon until possibly right here. This could be where it began.
He had a harem of everything with two legs that was female.
Okay.
He was a lover of women.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
And that was his downfall.
Yeah. Indiscriminate lover of women. Right?
Well.
So verse 17, I'll take the rest of chapter 9 and we'll switch to your text for chapter 10. Verse 17. Okay. And Solomon built Gezer and Beth Horon, the nether. So I guess the smaller.
The lower.
The lower.
There was an upper and a lower.
Okay.
One was upstream and one was downstream.
Uh-huh. Okay. And Baalath and Tadmor in the wilderness in the land. So apparently these cities were built in former Canaanite territory. Now he was taking tribute from the Canaanites rather than expelling them. You know, because this was David's commission, is to exterminate and expel. Exterminate
well,
and expel.
The reason he built these cities is for housing troops. These were all military.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. That was his plan, to dominate the land.
Right.
So he could have rapid response troops.
Right.
Like we have military bases all over the United States.
Right, right.
They're not just one great big
base. Okay. Now, when the instructions were given through Samuel to the king, I think it was actually to Saul even before David,
right,
that the king should not multiply gold and wives and chariots and great stores of things unto himself for his
correct
personal use, okay?
That's correct.
This is for the kingdom, so there's really nothing wrong here. So let me read verse 19. And all the cities of store that Solomon had, and cities for his chariots and cities for his horsemen, and that which Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem and in Lebanon and in all the land of his dominion. And all the people that were left of the Amorites, the Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, all the usual suspects, and Jebusites, which were not of the children of Israel, their children that were left after them in the land, whom the children of Israel also were not able to utterly to destroy, upon those did Solomon levy a tribute of bond service unto this day. Okay? So,
yep.
So for whatever reason, the Israelites were not able to utterly destroy them. Doesn't give us details. But to me, Pastor Steve, they should have driven them out. And not...
Well, they were commanded to do that.
Yes.
Otherwise, there were going to be thorns in your
That's
side
right.
and pricks in your eyes. And they are today.
Yes. So
there
I
we
think,
are. We, yeah. did, we didn't finish the commission that we were given.
Right. Yeah.
By
so,
Yahweh.
So the scripture here is not telling us that Solomon sinned by doing these things, but we can see that this is where things begin to go south, where Solomon is not totally obeying Yahweh's law right here. He should have driven these people out and not taken their money, because we're not to have Canaanites and Edomites in our company. We're not to have that. Okay. Well, let's continue. But the children of Israel did Solomon make not no bondmen, but they were men of war, and his servants, and his princes, and his captains, and rulers of his chariots and horsemen. In other words, that part is pretty much what David did. These were the chief of the officers that were over Solomon's work, 550, which bare rule over the people that wrought the work. But Pharaoh's daughter came up out of the city of David unto her house, which Solomon had built for her. Then did he build Millo. Okay, so Millo apparently was built by Solomon for Pharaoh's daughter. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. A couple more verses here before we go to chapter 10 and switch documents. And three times in a year did Solomon offer burnt offerings and peace offerings upon the altar which he built unto Yahweh. And he burnt incense upon the altar that was before Yahweh. So he finished the house. Okay, so he was still building while all these things were going on. And Solomon, must have been, as the son of David, must have been a priest he was not a Levitical priest, but he must have been a priest of the order of Melchizedek, because he was the elder son. But David was not an elder son, but all his brothers were found wanting. So David counted as the elder son, and plus he was the one that militarily defeated the Edomites and the Canaanites, etc. Okay, let's continue. And King Solomon made a navy of ships in Ezion-Geber, which is beside Eloth on the shore of the Red Sea, or the Sea of Reeds, in the land of Edom. Okay, now did he defeat this Edom? Apparently not, because he was holding these people in tribute. Back to Hiram. And Hiram sent in the navy his servants, shipmen that had knowledge of the sea, with the servants of Solomon, and we already said that many of these shipmen were Israelites. And they came to Ophir and fetched from thence gold, 420 talents, and brought it to King Solomon. So Solomon's still getting all this gold. He's been given all of this lumber, cedar and fir lumber, to build a temple.
Well, he had everything gold-plated in the temple.
Right.
And then later on, when they took the temple, they cut all the gold off the doors and everything else. They peeled all that stuff off.
Yes, yes. So
His
relationship with Hiram, I think, is beyond, refute or beyond, censure. But I think we see here the beginning of him taking the Pharaoh's daughter to wife is a problem. Okay, let's jump into chapter 10. So we see in chapter 9, Solomon is at the height of his power. Okay, let's continue. 1 Kings chapter 10. Take it, Pastor Steve.
All right. Well, I have a lot of notes here.
Okay.
The Queen of Sheba, that comes from Seba. It's also spelled Seba, S-E-B-A, number 5434. That was the first son of Cush, son of Ham, son of Noach. And that was found in Genesis 10:7. They mistranslated that Ethiopia.
Okay.
Moshe did not marry outside his race, and the reason Moshe was kicked out of Cush is because they were not Yahweh worshipers, and he wouldn't consummate the marriage. He never would touch her.
Right.
And yeah, she got mad, and they kicked him out.
Right.
But anyway, that's what Sheba, and she was an Adamic woman.
Yes.
They didn't mix till later. They were from Hebrew Cush,
not Hebrew Cush.
Ethiopia. It's a different land. They've tried to intimate that the Ethiopians are Israelites at one point, and the whole cult thing around Haile Selassie and all of that. He says he was the Lion of Judah and all that's horse crap.
Right.
And that's where these blacks go today, that they're Israelites. They are not.
No.
Never have been. They're Negroes.
That's right.
That's it. And they'll never be anything else.
Yeah.
But
Sheba was a Hebrew, was she merely a Shemite?
She was a Shemite. Yes.
Okay. She was a Shemite, but not a Hebrew. Okay.
Right.
Because Eber was a son of Shem. So those people were down there. I think she was from the southern end of the Arabian Peninsula,
right,
which in those days was not as dry.
No, was not. The whole demographic of all that land has drastically changed. It was not then as it is now. Israel itself was not so dry as it is now. I mean, they can't do anything there. They have to import food. It's a desert. It's ruined. It's under the curse, and they wonder, we're the chosen people. Chosen for what? By whom? So anyway, let's get back to this. I'll read from my translation.
Wait a minute. Seven of Nun asks, who was Kebra Nagast? Is that a different one? The Kebra Nagast, some kind of document.
That's apparently a book mainly about the relationship Tea Time Max.
Between Solomon and Queen of Sheba. Thank you, Tea Time. Yeah, okay. Okay, very interesting. Okay, I have never been aware of
that. Yeah, I've never run across it.
Okay. All right, please continue.
All right. This is verse 1 of chapter 10. When the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Shlomo concerning the name of Yahweh, she came to test him with perplexing questions. Verse 2. She came to Jerusalem with a very numerous train with camels for spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Shlomo, she spoke to him all that was in her mind.
Okay, let me go back to verse 1 because there's something very interesting there. And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of Yahweh.
Well, Yahweh was famous because he smote all the people around the
right,
area.
Right.
He and had so, a big name.
Yeah, right. And she, being a Shemite, would have been both welcome in Israel and also, you know, very curious because wasn't it even Moshe? His stepfather, or his father-in-law, rather, was also a Yahweh worshiper. So the Israelites and the Hebrews and Shemites of the day were familiar with the name of Yahweh.
Well, the Midianites did not apostatize till later.
Right.
Because his father-in-law, Reuel, was a Yahweh believer.
That's right.
Later on, he was a priest of On. And that was a city. And there was a bunch of them. They didn't apostatize. They were all one people at one time. And then they just split up. And then they apostatized.
Right.
And the people were cursed because they married in with the incestuous crowd.
Right.
From
and
Lot's
Ammonites.
Daughters. From Lot's daughters, the Ammonites and the Moabites.
Right.
And the Moabites were all wiped out. And when Ruth was in Moab, she was a Moabite nationally, but not racially.
Yes. Yes.
They were all gone. It was the occupied land of Moab.
Right.
They'd wiped
right.
them out. And they were all Israelites.
Yes.
And
okay.
Ruth is in a direct line of descent of Yeshua.
Yeah, and I think the reason I bring that up is because there's this secular myth that's being encouraged by non-identity people to the effect that Yahweh is, they claim that Yahweh is not an Israelite God, but a Canaanite God. And that's not possible.
Well, we were gonna cover that in a different show.
Right, yeah. But here's more evidence.
More deception. This is more deception and lies by these people.
Yeah.
To get people to doubt the scriptures.
Yeah, and to doubt Christian identity.
That's what it's designed to do. It's meant to divide and conquer and to disperse true Israel. It's another ploy by the enemy.
So here we see that Sheba, who was in fact a Shemite, was very familiar with the name of Yahweh. And I do know that the Canaanites also... I wouldn't say they worshipped Yahweh. What the Canaanites did, their main god was Baal, Moloch, and the various other gods. They worshipped all kinds of gods. But they hedged their bets. They worshipped Yahweh, not in the name of Yah, but Yah, E-E-E-A. And the name of Yahweh was very common in the ancient world, even before the Israelites appeared, as a common name for a god. They did not consider
well,
that God.
Well, they didn't worship him, but they feared him.
Right. Okay.
Because and they did not, he had smacked the crap out of them so
right,
many times.
And they worshipped him as a local God. This is what people have to understand. In those days, these gods were considered local gods. They ruled over a territory. They
well,
didn't worship.
They had the household idols that were household
right.
gods.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They did not worship Yahweh as the creator of the universe.
They were mostly weather gods.
Right. Yeah.
That's what they were.
Yeah.
Of course, that, you know, God small g, they were nothing but little statues.
Right.
They didn't have any power. They weren't actual gods. They weren't inhabited by fallen angels. They didn't move. They were just, they were fake idols. Well, yes. Just like the fake idols of the Catholic Church today.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to do a separate show on that, disproving that contention. And that's just a secular, myth that they've created to smear the Bible and specifically to smear CI. Yeah, go ahead.
Like I said, it's another deception by the enemy, and there's a number of websites that are absolutely disassembling that whole theory. A lot of people are upset over it.
Yeah.
And not just us.
Right, so, right.
And it's going to get hot and heavy, but not tonight. Let's continue on with what we're doing. Yeah. I've had a rough week, folks. I really have.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Let's stay on topic here.
Oh, okay, here, let me just interject this real quick. According to the Keber Nagas, this looks very interesting. She was pregnant with Solomon's child. She eventually had a boy, Menahem. Would have named him Menahem, okay? Mayhem. His son was named Mayhem. Okay, back to you.
Well, I don't, the Keber Nagas, it's not part of Scripture.
It sounds interesting,
it's interesting. There's lots of books out there that say a lot of things. Shlomo told her all things. There was no thing hidden by the king, which he told her not. Verse 4, when the queen of Sheba has seen all Shlomo's wisdom and the house he had built, and the food of his table, the seating of his servants, the mode of standing of his domestic servants and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up to the house of Yahweh, there was no more breath in her. Just took her breath away.
Yeah.
It was also grand.
And he was also a really handsome guy. Right?
Verse 6, said she to the king, it was a true report that I heard in my land of your acts of wisdom. Verse 7, I believed not the words until I came and my eyes saw, and behold, the half was not told to me. Your wisdom and prosperity add to the report I heard.
Okay. Do you think that this is starting to get to Solomon's head here?
Well,
yeah, we have some queen drops by and says, wow, damn, this is gorgeous. I've never seen anything like it.
and you're so hot.
You're the man.
You're hot.
Right? Yeah.
You're a hot guy.
Okay,
yeah,
no.
Right.
No, it's her fault. It's her fault, not Solomon's.
Right. Look, it hasn't changed in all these years.
Nothing has changed.
Nothing has changed. When men and women get together, the guy's brain goes on.
Yeah, right. The guy's brain goes in the toilet.
Okay, well, right. You know, hey.
Yeah, right.
That's why there's so many of us.
That's right.
Verse
you got that right. We're having fun, folks. Back to you.
Verse 8, happy are your men, happy are your servants, which stand continually in your presence and hear your wisdom. Verse 9. Now, this is Queen of Sheba.
You almost said Elizabeth.
Queen of Sheba. Blessed be Yahweh Elohecha, which means your God, which delighted in you to set you on the throne of Israel, because Yahweh loved Israel forever, therefore made you king to do justice and righteousness. Now that says she's a Yahweh believer. She understands.
Yes, very good.
I mean, what else can you say if she said that? I mean, whoa. Verse 10. She gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, a great, very great amount, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as that which the queen of Sheba gave to King Shlomo.
Okay.
Verse 11. The fleet of ships also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir brought in from Ophir a great amount of almugim wood and precious stones. That was a very valuable tree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For fine woodwork.
So
fine
she is grain. Suitably impressed.
Shiva
is suitably impressed. Yes.
She was knocked over.
Whoa, yes. Speechless.
Verse 12. Made the king of the almugim wood pillars for the house of Yahweh and for the king's house. Also harps and lyres for singers. Came no such almugim wood, none was seen unto this day. In other words, they cut down all the almugim trees.
Yes.
And just, you know, well, they did that. They tried to do that with all the great redwoods out west, but they stopped them.
Right.
You know.
Some of them are still there.
A lot of them. They preserved quite a bit.
Good.
I mean, we need to take care of some of this stuff.
You know, they should cut them down and make houses for illegal aliens.
Well.
Sorry.
Please continue. Two demerits on that.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Verse 13. Gave King Shlomo to the Queen of Sheba all her desire that she requested, besides what Shlomo gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own land, she and her servants.
Okay.
He might have given her a little more. She
right. Now, there's not a word in Scripture about them having intimate relationship.
Right.
What about Jasher and any of the other typical Apocrypha, the Apocrypha we're more familiar with?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
But that doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Well,
right?
It doesn't mean it didn't happen, but it doesn't mean it did either.
Right. Okay.
You know,
so this book they're talking about in the chat room may be true.
That's not the important part.
Right.
I mean, we're studying a little history here, and we're seeing some of the mistakes that the big king made.
Right.
The same mistakes we're making today.
Right. Too many wives.
The main focus of our program
right.
is what are we going to do and how are we going to be ready for the second coming?
Yes.
Getting ourselves prepared spiritually and physically for what's headed our way, which is going to be pretty ugly.
Yes.
It's already getting ugly.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes, very ugly.
We're on a concerted attack and literal attack. Our people are dying. Okay?
Yeah.
By plan.
Now, by the way, we're talking about Solomon's wealth, and all of this wealth is in commodities, especially gold. There's, gold is the currency of Scripture, gold and silver. Okay,
correct.
So don't let anybody tell you that gold and silver are not supposed to be our money. That's why our Constitution says that our money is gold and silver. Okay.
Yep.
Paper money and money lending never happened. Israel never engaged in money lending ever. In all of Scripture, those were outsiders. Those were Edomites and Babylonians who were in the temple, the money changers. They were not Israelites. They were outsiders. Back to you.
Verse 14. The weight of gold that came to Shlomo in 1 year was 666 talents.
Oh, 666.
Yes.
I wonder if that means anything.
Of gold. Don't know.
That's a lot of gold.
Verse 15. Besides, from the men that go about, those are traveling merchants.
Right.
And the merchandise of the merchants and all of the kings of Ereb. That's just
Arabia.
Land.
Arabia,
that's
yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And of the governors of the land. Verse 16. Made King Shlomo 200 large shields of beaten gold. 600 shekels of gold went upon one large shield. They were all taken later, and the gold was peeled off. And they had to just substitute bronze shields.
Hmm. Okay.
They took all the gold shields. Okay.
Okay.
Verse 17, and 300 small shields of beaten gold, 3 money of gold went upon one shield, and the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. That's the cedar house that was built.
Okay.
Verse 18, made the king a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with refined gold. An ivory throne overlaid with gold. Mm-hmm. Gold, 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 gold.
Yeah, right. Gold. I mean, yeah, very impressive.
Verse 19. The throne had 6 steps, and the top of the throne was round from behind, and there were supports on either side to the place of the seat, and 2 lions stood beside the supports.
Not real lions. It had to be carved lions.
No, these are their statues.
Right, statues.
Verse 20, and 12 lions stood there on the one side and on the other side upon the 6 steps.
Okay, well, hold on. What about idolatry? Okay, because a lot of people say we're not to have any kind of images whatsoever.
Yep.
Yet.
Yep.
You know, remember it? Okay.
We're not supposed to worship.
That we're not supposed to worship.
Image.
Right. Yeah. So works of art are okay, but worshiping those works of art is another story. That's the idolatry. Back to you.
There's 6 steps, and they had 6 lions on one side and 6 lions on the other.
Mm-hmm.
Going up to the king. That was all grander, okay?
Right.
There was none like it made in any kingdom.
Amen.
Verse 21. All of King Shlomo's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold, none of silver, as it was not accounted for anything in the days of Shlomo.
It had so much gold, who needs silver?
They didn't bother with silver.
Yeah. Well, we know then that Solomon did not go crazy from lead poisoning.
Nope.
Okay.
Verse 22. Because the king had at sea a fleet of ships of Tarshish with the fleet of ships of Hiram, king of Tyre, once in 3 years came the fleet of ships of Tarshish bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks. They had pet apes. Okay, and peacocks, and they ran all. And peacocks are one of the most devastating watch animals, because if anybody strange comes around, they raise a horrendous racket.
Really? Oh, okay.
And a lot of people, even in the United States, have peacocks.
A guard peacock.
As what? Guard peacocks. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Verse 23. So King Shlomo exceeded all the kings of the land for riches and wisdom. Verse 24, and all the land sought the presence of Shlomo to hear his wisdom, which Elohim had put in his mind. Verse 25, each man brought his tribute, vessels of silver, vessels of gold, garments, armor, spices, horses, mules, in amounts due each year. Verse 26, gathered together Shlomo chariots and horsemen. There was 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he brought to the cities for chariots and with the king at Jerusalem. All right, now it says in Scripture that a king's not supposed to do all of that.
Right, yeah. He started heaping these things to himself.
He was built, assembling chariots and horsemen and all that other stuff, and it swelled his ego.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Right.
He did. Verse 27, made the king silver in Jerusalem as stones, and cedar made he as the sycamore trees that are in the valley in abundance. In other words, he had so much stuff, nothing was worth anything anymore.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah, it's at some point, gathering all this stuff together becomes meaningless.
Verse 28, brought Shlomo horses from Mitzrayim and linen yarn. The king's traveling traders procured the linen yarn for a price. verse 23, a chariot came up and went forth from Mitzrayim for 600 shekels of silver, and a horse for 150. Those are the prices of chariots and stuff. And mm-hmm. so all the kings of Hitti, that's the Hittites, and the kings of Aram, they brought them forth by their hand. Mm-hmm. A tribute. He yeah. was really getting his ego.
Right.
And in chapter 11 here, yeah. it tells.
Okay, before we hold on, before we go to 11, this is a parable for us in Israel, that when we ever become too wealthy, we forget about Yahweh. We become so wealthy that we think that we don't need Yahweh anymore, and that we trust in our wealth and trust in ourselves. And isn't this what happens to Israel all the
don't
time?
Trust in horses and chariots and men
and money,
and arms.
Gold,
trust
right?
Trust in Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it says in Psalms. By
okay.
King David wrote that.
Well, okay.
His son was turning away from that.
Okay.
And
so,
verse 11,
oh,
chapter 11, is all about him turning away from Yahweh.
Okay, here we go, folks.
The
here
king,
it is.
Shlomo, loved women of alien races.
Oh! Wait a minute. Wait, what's the word for strange
Five,
here?
Two,
Nokri.
Three,
Nokri.
Right.
Yeah.
Many with the daughter
oh,
of Pharaoh.
Okay. With the daughter of
Moabioth, that's Moabite women. Ammonioth, that's Ammonite women. Edomioth, that's Edomite women. Zedanioth and Kittioth.
That's what Esau did.
Right.
Solomon, how could you? How could you?
All right, verse 2, from the nations which Yahweh said to the children of Israel, you shall not go in unto them, nor shall they come in unto you. Surely they will turn away your heart after Elohechem, that's their gods. Shlomo cleave to these in love. Here we go.
Love.
Verse 3.
You call that love?
Well, verse 3, he had 700 royal wives and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. In other words, they brought their paganism, just like we're allowing the pagans in this country.
Yep.
And it's turning
yep.
away our people in this
yep.
country. Okay, same deal, different day. Okay. It came to be in the time Shlomo was old, his wives turned away his heart after other Elohim, that's false gods,
mm-hmm.
and his heart was not holy with Yahweh Elohim, that means his God, as was the heart of David, his father.
Mm-hmm.
His father yeah. never did that.
Right.
All right, here we go. Verse 5. Shlomo went after Ashtoreth, Elohei Zidonim, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonim.
Wow. Wow.
Verse 6. Shlomo did evil in the sight of Yahweh and did not fully follow Yahweh as David his father. Verse 7. Here's more. Then Shlomo built a high place. That's a high place for pagan worship.
Wow.
1116.
Not a throne for him to sit on, but a...
Right. Built
right.
a high place, that's a pagan worship,
mm-hmm.
for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that faces upon Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon.
Yes.
Verse 8, likewise he did for all his racially alien wives, which burnt incense and slaughtered unto Elohim.
Their
gods.
Wow. Yeah, they threw live children into the fire of Molech.
Well, they had a Molech statue. And the mouth was open, and they built a fire in its belly, and they threw the children in through the mouth.
Right.
They went down in this hot statue.
Infanticide.
Burned them to death.
Infanticide. So, so Solomon got so rich, and maybe was he drinking too much wine? Or was he just forgot
it's
about Yahweh?
Morgan David 2020.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he certainly lost. How, you know, it's incomprehensible.
Our mad dog.
Yeah, it's incomprehensible to me that he could let all this stuff go to his head and totally forget about Yahweh.
Verse 9. Angry was Yahweh with Shlomo because his heart was turned away from Yahweh Elohe Israel, who had appeared to him twice. And verse 10, and commanded him upon this thing that he should not go after other Elohim, but he kept not that which Yahweh commanded.
Yes.
Verse 11, said Yahweh to Shlomo, for as much as this becomes of you not keeping my covenant and my statutes that I commanded unto you, I will surely tear away. That's seven.
Right.
That's one word, 7167. The kingdom from you and will give it to your servant. Verse 12. Not in your days. I will not do it for Dawid your father's sake, but I will tear it from the hand of your son.
Okay, that was Jeroboam, right? The servant was Jeroboam.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
Verse 13. However, I will not tear away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to your son for Dawid, my servant's sake, and for Yerushalayim's sake, which I have chosen. All right, here we go. Verse 14. Pay attention to this. Stirred up Yahweh an adversary to Shlomo, Hadad the Edomite, he from the king's seed line of Edom.
Those that he refused to destroy.
The king of Edom.
Right.
Verse 15, it was when Dawid was in Edom, Joab, the commander of the army, went up to bury the slain after smiting every male in Edom. All right, verse 16, because 6 months Joab remained there with all of Israel until he had cut off every male in Edom. Verse 17, and Adad fled, he and men of Edomim, from his father's servants with him to go to Mitzrayim, as Hadad was yet a young boy.
Okay. Here again, we're being told that the Egyptians are not the friends, the true friends of Israel. Because in those days, as it still happens even today, the various royal houses will intermarry as a form of keeping the peace, right?
Right.
So that's probably what Solomon did when he took Pharaoh's daughter to wife. Back to you.
Correct. Verse 18, they rose up from Midian and came to Paran, and took men with them from Paran, and came to Mitzrayim unto Pharaoh, king of Mitzrayim, which gave him a house and an appointment of food for him, and gave him land. Verse 19. Hadad found great favor in the sight of Pharaoh, so he gave to him as wife the sister of his own wife, the sister of Tachpenes, the queen.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 20, the sister of Tachpenes bore him Genubath, his son, whom Tachpenes weaned among Pharaoh's household, and Genubath was in Pharaoh's household among the sons of Pharaoh.
Okay, and Tachpenes, ultimately a city was named after her.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Tiatefi and Skada abode there for a while. Back to you.
Verse 21. When Hadad heard in Mizraim that Dawit slept with his fathers, that means he died.
Yeah.
And that Joab, commander of his army, was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, "Let me depart, that I may go to my own land." Verse 22. Said Pharaoh to him, "But what have you lacked with me, that, behold, you seek to go to your own land?" And he said, "Nothing, but let me go anyway." Verse 23, stirred up Elohim another adversary, Rezon, son of Eliada, which fled from his lord Hadad-Ezer, king of Soba. Verse 24, and he gathered men to him and became a leader over a band of marauders. That's one word. 14:16, when Dawud was slaying them, and they went to Damasek, that's Damascus, and dwelled in it, and ruled in Damasek. They were rulers of Damascus.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Verse 25, he was an adversary to Israel all the days of Shlomo, beside the harm that Hadad did, and he abhorred Israel and reigned over Aram. And then,
okay.
Then Jeroboam, son of Nebat, an Ephrathi of Zereda, servant of Shlomo, whose mother's name was Zeruiah, a widow woman, lifted up his hand against a king. I mean, they were rebelling against him. Yahweh was bringing this about. This is punishment.
Yes, right. Yes. Solomon's punishment. Yeah.
And just...
Okay. So if Solomon's doing these things and the people are seeing him taking all these foreign women as wives, well, you know, that's when the upper class and the upper middle class begins doing it too. Right?
Well,
and there,
I mean,
and there goes the neighborhood.
He's done. It goes into some other stuff, which we don't have the time to cover this evening. We're almost out of time here.
If you
take a look at the clock.
Right.
But
got 6 minutes left.
Shlomo took the reign of King Dawid and wrecked it. Yahweh loved Dawid, and Shlomo dishonored his father's memory. He did all these things. Worshipped alien gods. The only reason Yahweh didn't take him out was because he was the son of Dawid, and he respected that and allowed him remain, but he was going to rip everything against his son. They were going to rip the king. If we go into this next week, they're going to rip the kingdom apart. The kingdom is going to split up. This is preceding the separation of the tribes.
Yes.
Yehuda and Binyamin would stay, and the other 10 tribes would rebel and break away. The kingdom would be forever divided. This was the end of Israel as a united nation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's all because of this apostasy.
Right, right.
All right, now let's look at America today. We started out as a godly nation, did we not?
Right.
Our founding fathers founded a Christian
nation. Only white people could vote.
What have we got today? Have we gone into apostasy in this nation? In Europe, have they gone into apostasy a great deal? Over there, are they allowing all these non-Yahweh worshiping aliens in?
Right.
What's happening It is destroying Europe. It's ripping it apart. America is falling apart. Mm-hmm.
Every white nation.
This is all foretold because Israel is in apostasy. And out of this mess, only the remnant is going to make it. These mm-hmm. others, on the day of wrath, when Yeshua comes back, he's not coming back for a bake sale.
They're having too much fun.
It's with flaming fire and avenging messengers. That's avenging angels.
Yes.
It's going to be a horror day for everybody that is not on Yahweh's side. And I'm sorry, but I you know, they make their choice. We're preaching the word day in and day out. We can do no more as individuals here at EFR.
Right.
We're doing what we need to do.
Okay, well,
there are others out there doing the same. And there, so many are not listening, and there's going to be a lot of Israelites are going down to the second death.
Okay.
And
so
the remnant will be preserved.
The downfall of the House of Solomon began with multiculturalism. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
That's how it began. There is no
we
turning back.
We are to come out from among them and be separate, and we
mm-hmm.
are not.
That's right. So this is the reality that the Judeo-Christian ministry does not want to address. That Solomon's sinning with, and of course, it wasn't only Solomon. We know that even when the returnees from Babylon came back.
Ezra and Nehemiah.
Right.
They had to cast these women out.
Mm-hmm.
They were warned.
Yeah, yeah.
They had to put away the wives. A lot of them did, but a lot of them didn't.
Right. And so they were cast out too. They were no longer counted as Israelites. They had to go too. So we see that, and what's the episode, the prophet that had the mule talk to him? In any case, the moral of the story is...
Bileam.
Yeah, right. And the moral of the story was whenever Israelite men start mixing with non-Israelite women, our culture collapses. Our civilization collapses.
We need to have Phineas come back.
Right, there you go.
With his spear. I mean, I'll
Amen.
Have to deal with my sword, but we need a lot of spearmen to sort of run these. Mm-hmm. The beast with two backs. Okay.
Right.
And he had to pin him to the mattress. And
yeah.
That's what he did. He stuck right through both of them and killed them.
Right. Right. Well, that's the judgment that's coming. It's going to happen again. So this is what we're dealing with, folks. Don't let anybody tell you that multiculturalism is a good thing. It's not. It never has been, never has worked anywhere, and will not work in the modern world. Fortunately, the good news is that people are beginning to wake up to this and beginning to reject it and wanting to have our Europeans, quote-unquote European heritage, maintained. And not throw it away.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
That's the good news. But we know that our adversary is never going to give up. Never going to give up. And so we have to stand fast, not allow the international Jew to take over, you know, completely take over our society. We have to start fighting back. And I believe that fight back has finally arrived. And our people are beginning to stand up for what's right, which is to keep our race pure.
That's right.
And to
we got
our
about hair. 30 seconds, brother. We
yes.
need to sign out. It's good that we can go live. I know the studio audience likes it, and it's been a long, rough road.
Right. Yeah.
And we're not out of the woods yet. We're doing what we can, but these computers drive you nuts.
Oh, T-Time, when is the Feast of Tabernacles? We're starting, I think, October 3rd. October 3rd, okay. We'll be in Kentucky, and you celebrate on your own wherever you are, okay? And make a big tent. Carry a big stick and have a comfy tent, all right? Okay, folks, thanks for listening.
Praise
Yahweh. Now we know. how the House of Solomon collapsed and why it collapsed. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Bye-bye.